taken good care of us, amen. Tonight, I'll give you some, we've got some more contracts, we got some announcements and stuff that I forgot to take these up, but I will mention them. Miss Donna had called earlier, and she has Dolly Deering, and this lady she met at the store, and so she's invited her. We're going to get that up, and then I have one here, Michael P., I'm going to call him because his last name's hard to pronounce, but he's going to come. He's committed to come as one of my friends. And then Wesley's got Justin Cowden here. And so Ashley has Hayden. And maybe there's two here. Ashton Pratt, is that right? Is that up? Somebody else? Okay. And so two of them here. And then Greg and Brenda Roller. And so we got several more cards here. We'll get those up, Steve. If you want to go and put those up, should be push pins back there. And so we've got both of those boards pretty full, and we thank the Lord for it. Thanks, buddy. And turn to Hebrews chapter 13 tonight. Hebrews chapter 13. And I want to speak to you about something that I believe will be that's very timely and very relevant, and maybe in preparation of just really this whole year, but especially even this Sunday, okay? As you're turning there, I want to read to you a letter. It was Brother Baker told you that I'd be doing this, and there wasn't necessarily a generic thing to go by. I just wrote a letter, and so we wrote a letter to the folks that you've invited, and everybody except the ones that he's just now putting up will get that letter probably tomorrow, maybe the next day, and I'll just read you the letter I wrote just so you have an idea of what they're getting, so when they say, I got my letter, you'll know kind of what's in it, okay? It just says, hello, friend. I wanted to personally write and let you know how excited we are to have you and your family as our honored guests this Sunday, February the 9th, for Friend Day. It's been said that life without friendships like the sky without the sun. Certainly true friendship is one of the most treasured benefits in this life, and we're truly grateful that one of our members has a special friend like you. We're looking forward to a great day at church this Sunday and want to personally let you know how honored we are that you would take the time out of your schedule to be with us. If you have any questions or if I can be assistance to you, feel free to call me. And I've got service time 11 o'clock. See you Sunday. Sincerely, Pastor Danny Dixon. And, of course, it's got our times and everything up top. And so that's what they got, okay? And just so you know, that's the letter that we sent out. And but tonight, Hebrews chapter 13, and we're going to be really all throughout the Word of God, but we're going to start here, and it'll be our main text, but we've got to look at some other scriptures as well. And I just want to look at a few verses here. Let's just read the first three verses tonight, okay? If you're there with me, say amen. The Bible says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, that you have taken such good care of us, Lord, way better than we deserve. And we're grateful and thankful for that. Now, Lord, tonight I pray for the next few moments that you'd arrest our attention, that, Lord, we would not only hear but heed your word. I pray you'd illuminate us, help us, and give us, Lord, the wisdom we need in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight on this simple thought, hospitality in the house of God. Hospitality in the house of God. Those that keep up with church records, if you will, keep up with visitors and members, and keep up with those that visit churches that have taken statistics. Statistically speaking, they say that poor hospitality is the number one reason why first-time visitors never return. Poor hospitality. Now, likewise, one of the reasons that many visitors don't respond to the message of a church that they visit is also because of poor hospitality. In other words, maybe they come in and they hear the message and they would respond and want to respond, but they don't feel like there's liberty that they can respond because everything's just so stiff and everybody's just so unfriendly. I believe, and I'm so grateful for it, we have one of the friendliest churches in the world, and I'm thankful for that. We could always do better, and we want to do better, we want to do our best. I just mentioned about that sometimes they feel like they don't have liberty. Listen to me, and I've said this to you before. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, There's liberty. Now, some people hijack that and take it somewhere crazy. We know that God's not the author of confusion. Won't you understand this? I love what I seen Sunday night. Sunday night, we came in. In fact, I was coming up to the platform, and Brother Phil had his arm around a young man. They're down here at the altar, and they're praying. Listen, he didn't have to wait till church started. He didn't have to wait till the preacher was done. He didn't need to wait until the songs were finished. If God speaks to your heart, don't draw attention to yourself. Don't make it about you. But if you need to come and get something right between you and the Lord, the altars are always open. Amen? They're always open. And so you can come. If a song speaks to your heart and you're just really God's ministering to you and you feel the need to do that, come to the altar and do business with the Lord. If we're preaching, like I said, just don't draw attention to yourself. Come down and pray before the service and the song. Maybe the offertory, the pre-service music is being played. Come down. That's fine. Doesn't bother me at all, okay? You're not gonna bother me in the least. You understand there's liberty, and there needs to be liberty at the house of God, all right? But so many times there's poor hospitality, and because of it, so many times churches and church members, you do a ton of work, you spend a lot of money and on some campaign or some special day or some outreach event to get folks to come to church, and then they drop the ball when the people come. Well, I just want to tell you tonight, I don't want to drop the ball, amen? I don't want to drop the ball. I want to make sure that we're on our best behavior, make sure that we're doing what we ought to be doing. I want us to be the friendliest church that anyone's ever experienced, not just this Sunday, but every Sunday, amen? I want to be the friendliest church that they can have ever experienced, and I want every visitor who comes to feel loved and welcome and to feel like they're among friends, and they ought to be. I want to say this, if somebody comes to this church, and they can come, especially a Sunday morning, and they hear the gospel preached, and they can come and all that, and sit through the service, and they're lost, and come and be comfortable, something's wrong. Right? Because they ought to be convicted. We ought to be preaching the Bible, the Word of God. We ought to be preaching on sin. We ought to be preaching on salvation. And so if they can come and be completely comfortable, something's wrong. But I want to say this. If they come and feel unwelcome, something's also wrong. And so they ought to come and they ought to know that this preacher loves them. They ought to know that the people in the pews love them and that we're not there to judge them, but we're there to help them. Amen? And that's the spirit they want to make sure that everybody knows. I understand they may not be fully comfortable if the Holy Spirit is ringing their bell, but I want to say they ought to feel loved. They ought to feel welcome. And so I want to make sure that everybody always does. All of us who have ever knocked doors and visited somebody at their home know how welcoming it feels when we're greeted at the door with a welcome mat, right? Or something like that, maybe a welcome sign and welcome friends or something like that. And you know how welcoming that feels, and it's comforting when we walk into their house. Maybe you're going to somebody's house to visit them and you walk in their home and there's a verse there on the wall that says, God bless all those who enter here or something like that. And then that just helps you, doesn't me. But then we also know how bad we feel and how turned off and turned away we feel when we see the no trespassing sign, right? When we see the beware of dog sign. When we see the sign that says, something about Smith and Wesson. We know how those things immediately say to us, you're not welcome here and you don't belong here. Well, the truth is every single church gives off a vibe or a spirit, and every church gives off a message that either says you're welcome and we truly are glad you're here, or they give off a sign and a message that says you're not welcome here and you don't belong here. You'd be amazed at the little things that I can do and you can do that would cause people to feel like I don't belong here. And we never want to do that. And whether you realize it or not, listen, hospitality is one of the most critical and yet overlooked things in many churches. It's very important. In fact, whether you realize it or not, are concerned about it or not, you understand the Lord is concerned about how we behave ourselves at the house of God. I want you to turn with me to 1 Timothy 3 and hold your place in Hebrews. We'll keep coming back here, Hebrews 13. 1 Timothy 3, and let's look at verse 14 and 15. 1 Timothy 3, verse 14 and 15. Paul's writing, of course, to young Timothy there in the church that Timothy's now pastor over. And he says there, these things write I unto you, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, he wrote a bunch of things before giving them instruction, okay, about how to do things. And he says, so if it takes me a while to get there, he says that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. God is very, very concerned about how you and I behave ourselves at the house of God. It's something that's very important to him. And so tonight, I want to look at just that. Look back in your text of Hebrews 13. I want to talk, first of all, tonight about the hospitality to the saints. Hospitality to the saints. Notice verse number one. The Bible says there, let brotherly love continue. You see that brotherly love. Oh, we could spend a lot of time on that. Let brotherly love. This is that love that Christians have for one another. This is that love. Listen, this is a love of compassion. This is a love of empathy. This is a love of concern. This is a love of sacrifice and surrender and yielding to the other person. A brotherly love. Who knows, this is a very important thing in the house of God, brotherly love. Certainly it is. That we have unity, that we have a right spirit, that we have love toward one another. Jesus said to his disciples, which made up that early church, in John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And then he said this, by this, what love? Loving one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one to another. He says, let brotherly love, and then notice what's this. Let brotherly love continue. Now, when the Bible says, let brotherly love continue, that's assuming that it's always been, right? If it's going to continue, then we're assuming that it's always been there. Some Christians need to just simply let brotherly love begin. Amen? Because they've never had it in the first place. The Bible says, let brotherly love continue. And that word continue means to remain. It means to abide. It means to stay. It means, listen, loving the brethren isn't always easy. But there ought to be a brotherly love, he says, let it continue, that's always present in the church and in the house of God. Loving the brethren isn't easy, but listen, the brethren loving you isn't easy either. You're no peach to live with either. Either am I. All right? And so we need to understand that. Now, it's not always easy to love their brother. Some people are hard to love. Let's just be honest. But brotherly love ought to be a staple. And it ought to be a general commonality attribute in the church. Because watch this. It makes all the difference in the world to the world. Brotherly love. When they come in to the house of God and they say, can you imagine what people think when they visit a church and they can sense a spirit of hatred? They can sense a spirit of animosity. They can sense a spirit of jealousy. And they know, listen, they know that the church is divided right down through here. And this group sits on their side. And this group sits on that side. And the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Right? Praise God. I'm glad it's not like that here, but I'm going to say that when it is like that, don't think you can hide it because you can't. And there's a thickness to it that people know that something don't think about. Imagine how they feel and what they think. They're walking somewhere like that. I remember hearing a story years ago. A man walked in and he was just rough. I'm talking about fought all the time, drunk all the time, and he had just newly got saved. He moved and he come and you know he didn't know how to act, what to be and all that, but he could tell, but there's something brewing in the church. And he sat back there and he came back the next week and he could tell more's brewing. And but he liked the preacher. And he thought, boy, something's about to break out. And when something breaks out, I'm going to be on that preacher's side. I'm going to help him. That's just how he thought, right? He's just carnal. But it's amazing. Imagine how people, can you imagine what they think when they visit a church? They think, man, this place is bad as what? This, man, all the jealousy and the hatred and the, this place is just like the place where I work, because that's how it is most places. I don't want anything to do with this place. I don't need any more drama. I've got all I can stand now. I don't want any part of this. You ought to come in and want what we have. I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 22. If you've got it, read it. Raise your hand if you get it. 1 Peter, it's in the New Testament. chapter 1, verse 22. Anybody got it? Go ahead, Brother Jim. Now watch this. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, watch this. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Talking about brotherly love. Unfeigned love. You know what that is? Not fake. Not phony. Real, genuine love for the brethren. People know when you're faking it. Unfeigned love. And you notice what he goes on and says, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. You know what people need to see in us? You know what visitors need to see in us? They need to see a real, genuine, fervent love that we have for one another. 1 John chapter number 4. Man, my throat's killing me. I'm about to choke to death or something up here. But anyway, 1 John 4:11-12. Beloved, if God so loved us, listen to this. We ought also to love one another. Now listen to what he says. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love, that's God's love. Remember, no man's seen God. But it says, if we love one another, then it says his love is perfected in us. You know what people need to see in us? They need to see a real love. You've heard the saying, you're the only Bible that some people will ever read. The Bible says, no man's seen God at any time, but his love is perfected in us. You may be the only God somebody will ever know. His love is perfected in us. Stan Mikita is a professional hockey player, and he used to get into a lot of fights during the game. That's just kind of how hockey goes, right? He stopped when his six-year-old daughter asked him a very grown-up question. Here's what she asked him. She said, how can you score goals when you're always in the penalty box, Daddy? How can you score goals when you're always in the penalty box? Well, we need to ask ourselves that same question. How can we score souls when we're all the time sidelined by bickering and fussing and fighting, or what the case is, how in the world can we ever reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ when all that mess is going on? And by the way, the devil has a field day. If he can keep us sidelined by arguing or by division or dissension or carnality, then he's just getting his way. How can we expect those who are lost to care about anything God has to offer when we make the Christian life look so miserable? Listen, there ought to be and there must be hospitality, commonality, and unity amongst God's people. I want you to turn to this place, Romans 12. Romans 12, verse number 10. And this is a very important verse. Matter of fact, outside of the verses regarding salvation, I don't know that there would be a more important verse, especially dealing with living the Christian life and about what we're talking about, the hospitality to the saints. Have been hospitable, brotherly love, okay? Romans chapter 12 and verse number 10, let's read it together. Be kindly affectioned one to another. There's that word again, with brotherly love in honor. And then these three words, watch this. These three words, I want you to start at the bottom on one side of the page and start drawing an arrow up and turn it in there. At the other side, start drawing an arrow and turn it in right there. Mark it, underline it. If you have a highlighter, highlight those last three words. Preferring one another. Because I'm going to tell you something. That is the crux. That is where the rubber meets the road when it comes to living the Christian life and dealing with our brothers and sisters in Christ. You want to know how? It's right there in three words, preferring. Now, when I prefer somebody else, it means that I'm preferring them over me. It means that I'm placing them in front of me. All right? preferring, the Bible says, one another. So then an attitude, he says, talks about brotherly love, right? He says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. And then he says, preferring one another. So then an attribute, and I believe ultimately, the description of brotherly love is simply as this, preferring one another. I'd rather you get the blessing than me get the blessing. I'd rather you get the opportunity than me get the opportunity. Right? Everybody okay? Preferring one another. Let me bring it down here to a very practical level. Two people want to sing the same song. Maybe they know it, maybe they don't. Maybe one person's mentioned it and the other person has thought, well, you know, I hadn't said anything, but I've been practicing that song and I've been thinking about that song and I really wanted to sing that song. By the way, let me just say this while I'm here. Nobody owns a song, okay? And I don't care if it was sung a month ago. Sing it again, because we're not getting new ones. Amen. Sing it again. God help us. But two people sing the same song, right? You know what preferring one another would be? I'll let them sing it. Well, they'll probably do a better job anyway. They probably will. Preferring one another. Everybody wants to be in an auditorium. I'm talking about practical now, preferring one another. I'm talking about brotherly love. We're talking about hospitality to the saints, to one another. Everybody wants to be in the auditorium in the big day. You know, we got the big singing group, or we got the revival meeting, and maybe, another preacher, or maybe whatever the case is. Everybody wants to be in the auditorium. Maybe we got a group in our church singing. Maybe you've got a kid in there, whatever the case is in that group. And everyone wants to be in an auditorium, but somebody's got to be in the nursery. Right? Somebody has to work the nursery. I believe this. I believe, and I'm talking about people that do it with the right heart. I believe that there is a great reward for nursery workers at the judgment seat of Christ. Probably better than pastors. I'm being honest. Never hear their name. They'll never be on a marquee sign. But they got some rewards stacked up. Somebody's got to. Right? And so what is it? What we're talking about, preacher? The Bible says here again, let's make sure that we're reading it right. The Bible says here again that be kindly affectionate one to another, brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. What would that look like? You know what? You go ahead and go to the service. I'll take the nursery today. Preferring one another. Let's keep it on a practical level. We done talked about parking. You know what? You pull up. It's amazing to me that we'll go to Walmart, we'll go to Westtown Mall and park 35 acres back out there on the backside of nowhere and walk in and then walk around that place for 3 or 4 hours, but it's like we come to the house of God and we become crippled. You know? Oh, Lord, I can't park down there. We ain't got but 4 acres altogether here. Parking. No, it looked like preferring others. I'm going to save that for somebody. Maybe they got kids. Maybe somebody, they got. And just park down here on the back, and be thankful that you don't have to park up front because you're well and you can move and all that, all right? Maybe there's somebody with a bad back, like our poor preacher, preferring others. I'm talking about practical brotherly love. I'm talking about practical hospitality among the saints. I got to hurry, man. There's a lot I got to say to you. What about you've had a great event? Maybe it's been a church event, church-wide event. Maybe it's been a class event or a ministry, a Young at Heart event or a youth event or something like that. And man, the leaders and maybe whoever has worked and they've labored and they've prepared and there's food brought in and there's decorations, there's all this stuff. Now the Bible says preferring one another. And so what happens many times, so oftentimes in every church, is that, we have the good time, we eat the food, we do whatever we're doing that day. So, all right, we'll see you Sunday. You know what preferring one another would be? You know, they've spent most of the day putting this together. They're probably going to be here till 1 o'clock in the morning putting it up by themselves. I'm talking about practical right now, okay? How can we be hospitable? How can we prefer one another? So we say, you know what, I'll help you with that. Let me help you put these tables up. Let me help you clean these dishes up. Let me help you, right? Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Sometimes it's like we act confused, like we don't know. Well, you know, I didn't know I really should have done that. I didn't think about it. 1 Thessalonians is going to tell you you're wrong. Chapter 4, verse 9. Who's got it? 1 Thessalonians 4, 9. Go ahead, Pam. See that? He said, as touching brotherly love, you don't need me to write to you and tell you anything. The love of God, if you're saved by the good grace of God, God's already taught you what you need to know about how to love one another. You don't need me to tell you anything. You know. Can I say, you know what brotherly love is, but can I say, you know what it is not as well? That's what God said that. You already know. You need me to spell it out for you. I'm glad we can get practical for a minute and give you some things, but you don't need me to spell. You know when that's preferring others or it's not preferring others. Paul says, you don't need me to explain anything. 1 John, I'll read it, chapter 3, verse 14 through 16. We know we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. In other words, watch this, brotherly love. Brotherly love is about preferring and giving our lives for other brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what it's about. We ought to lay down our lives, he says, for the brethren. Preferring one another. It's about giving ourselves for other brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what it's about. Hospitality. He says there, let brotherly love continue. And not only the hospitality to the saints, but notice the second thing, hospitality to the stranger. Look what he says in verse number 2 of our text, Hebrews 13. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. You see, all of us know that we ought to love. We just read, the Bible says we know. We ought to love, we ought to be kind and all that to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're supposed to love the saints. And sadly, many people can't get that right. But I want to tell you, the same's true when it comes to strangers, visitors, those people we don't know. The Bible is clear in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well that we're commended and we're commanded to be loving and to be hospitable, not only to the saints, but also to strangers. Go to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter number 19. It's commanded and it's commended in the Old as well as in the New Testament. Leviticus 19, 33 and 34. Who's got them? Leviticus 19, 33 and 34. Go ahead, Debbie. Is it that? He said, if a stranger sojourn within your land, come where you are, your place, you shall not vex him. That means do him wrong. He says, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, just like your family, one of you. He says, and thou shalt love him, circle that, thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were once, notice his conclusion, ye were once, you were strangers in the land of Egypt, he's saying, I am the Lord your God. You know, every one of us walked into even this church for the first time at one time or another. We were all strangers, right? And of course, he's talking there. They were once strangers in the land of Egypt. They didn't belong there. But we were all strangers here, every one of us, at one time. Now, maybe you walked in. Maybe you knew one person. Maybe you know anybody. Maybe you knew the person that somebody invited you. But we walked in as strangers. We need to remember how that felt. We're told here that we need to love strangers as ourselves. And we need to think back and think of maybe what somebody could have done when we walked in the house of God for that first time. Something they could have done to maybe make it less intimidating. Jesus himself commends hospitality in the New Testament. We'll look at a verse in a moment in Luke. But as a matter of fact, in the New Testament Greek, the Greek word hospitality literally means this. It means love of strangers. Hospitality in the Greek means love of strangers. You say, preacher, why are we inviting all these heathen people here anyway? Why are we inviting the lost here anyway? Why are we inviting these strangers here anyway? I'll tell you why. So we can show them the love of Christ. Amen? Jesus said the second greatest commandment was to love our neighbor as ourselves. Love our neighbor. Now, that has nothing to do with geography. Doesn't mean the person living next door to you. It may be the person living next door to you. But it's anybody. It's anybody that you come into contact with that you can help that has a need. And we know we all have a need of the soul, right? I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a church that has the us for no more mentality. And we just turning everything in and we're going to be a social club. Oh no, friend, that's not church at all. In Luke chapter 14, starting in verse number 12. I'm reading a lot of these, I'm trying to hurry. Then said he also to them that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brother. Don't just call the people that you're closest to, neither thy kinsmen nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again and recompense be made. In other words, lest they pay you back, unless they invite you over. Don't do it where you're going to maybe get something for it. But he says, but when thou makest a feast, here's who you need to call. Call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And then thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense you. They can't pay you back. These are the people that we've been commanded to invite and to be kind to and to be welcoming to. Matthew 25, I want you to turn there. Matthew 25, verse 34, let's start there. Matthew 25, verse number 34, talking about hospitality to strangers, to visitors. Let's look at starting at verse number 34. Who's got it? Go ahead, Wesley. 34 through 40. Stranger. Go ahead.
Sit. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when shall we be and hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When shall we be a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when shall we be sick or in prison?
Wait a minute, Lord, what are you talking about? When we see you hungry, when we see you sick, when we see you hurting, all those people that you did it unto, he said, and that you done it unto the least of these, you done it unto me. You see, when you and I are hospitable to strangers, when you and I give of ourselves to strangers, the Lord says we're really doing it unto him. In the book, First Impressions by Mark Waltz, he says this. This is good. You need to listen to this. Write it down, maybe. Visitors should know how much they matter to us before they hear how much they matter to God. You hear that? Visitors should know how much they matter to us before the preaching's going on and they hear how much they matter to God. It ought to already be something that they've recognized and realized. You've heard the old saying, it's so true, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. People don't really care what you have to say until they're convinced that you actually really do care about them, that you care about their well-being, that you care about their soul, that you care about their family, that you care about their condition. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's turn there real quick. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. We don't have many more verses. 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 1. Paul writes and he understands love. He understands how important love is. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, have not love, I'm become, what's what he says, as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. In other words, it's just noise to people. If I get up and preach, or you get up and speak, or you're telling them how great, and there's no love, they don't sense no love, it's just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I might have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Showing love to strangers is so important. Showing hospitality to strangers is so important. That's why here the writer of Hebrews says, he says this, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Now watch this. I believe this involves two main things. Number one, I believe this involves a priority. Notice again, he says, be not forgetful. Be not forgetful. He's given a charge. Be not forgetful. There's a priority that has to be here. Be not forgetful. Too often times we neglect those who are strangers. In other words, we ignore those who come in and that we don't know. And something we need to always remember is while we may not know them, and that may make us feel uncomfortable because we walk by somebody or see somebody that we don't know them, put yourselves in their shoes for a minute. They don't know anybody. It might be sometimes there's several visitors maybe, you know, in a service, and you may not know them, may not know them. But they don't know anybody. They might know one person that invited them. And listen, that ought to not bother you. If this is your church, if this is your church home, you're just like in your house, you're the one supposed to be hospitable, right? And be giving the hospitality. If this is your home church, it's your job for you to go up and for you to be the one that's hospitable. Don't be shy. Don't be like, well, I don't know them. They're in your house. Right? They're your visitor, your guest. And so we need to be hospitable. We need to make it a priority when we see those who we don't know who are visitors, who are, the Bible would call it strangers. We need to make it a priority to go to them and greet them. Watch this. Not fake, not phony, but honestly take a moment and want to know something about them. Right? Get their name. Maybe get their occupation. Talk to them about their kids. Talking about a genuine care. Every one of you who has someone invited this Sunday, and I hope all of you have somebody invited, if you don't now that you will by Sunday, when you meet them at the door and you walk in the auditorium and with them and to find a seat, you come in, you're going to find a seat, you're going to hope and pray that somebody comes over and speaks to your guest, and somebody comes over and makes them feel welcome, or somebody comes over and begins to talk to them and introduce themselves to your guest. You're going to want them to do that. And the worst thing in the world is when you invite a friend to your church, I know somebody whom you've had a burden for 2 or 3 years, you've been praying for 2 or 3 years, you've really tried to get them to the house of God for several years, and finally it happens, finally that they agree to come, and they come in and they show up and nobody greets them, nobody speaks to them, nobody helps them feel what makes them feel welcome. Listen, it happens every single week in churches all across this nation. You'd be amazed. If we're going to focus on getting people into the building and getting visitors at the house of God in 2020, we got to make sure we don't drop the ball when they get here. But hospitality needs to be a priority when we come to church. I want to tell you, I'll never forget. And I would say this if both of them were standing right here. We've talked about it. It's a funny thing, but it is a thing. Many of you know Steve Smith. We went to church. I was his assistant pastor for a while. But he invited a guy to church one day. And the guy was, I think he went to church with him in Florida or something. So it wasn't quite as bad because I don't think this guy was lost. But anyway, he invited him to church one day. And the guy came. And Brother Brandon, you know, my former pastor, good man, I love him. And I'd say this if he's standing right here, okay? But he's just the way he is. He's who he is. He just kind of shoots from the cuff a lot of times. He's not as planned and prepared. That's just how he wants to be, and that's fine. And so he's trying to make, I guess, light of just find something to say. I don't know. But he does that a lot, and he kind of put his foot in his mouth. And it's happened before. It's happened before to me, and it'll happen to you. But he's talking, and this guy stands. He says, all right, Steve, so you got a visitor there? He says, have them stand and introduce your visitor to us. And the guy stood, and he told, this is so-and-so and so-and-so. And he says, man, he says, and so Pastor Brandon's up here, he says, man, look at that guy's beard. He starts going on, you know, and this guy, he had a well-groomed beard. I don't remember, maybe it was like all white or all whatever, you know. But look at this guy's beard. And then he starts digging a deeper hole. And a deeper hole, you know, it's like, all right, you know, it's already the whole church is looking at this guy. That wouldn't make him feel awkward at all, you know. And then he says, man, he says, I'm talking, that thing is groomed, that is nice. He says, well, he says, if I had a face like that, I'd have a beard like that too. Kid you not. This man's never been in our church before and never been since. When you invite a visitor, you don't want the pastor, you want to be hospitable to your visitor, right? I'll try to never do anything like that. Didn't go over well. But with a vision and a push that we have this year of getting people in the building, let's not drop the ball when we get them here. Hospitality involves a priority. Secondly, it involves a performance. Notice he says, be not forgetful. Watch this. Be not forgetful. And then he says this, to entertain strangers. It's an action word. It not only involves a priority, it involves a performance. To entertain strangers. That word entertain means this, to receive into the house and treat with hospitality. Now, in order for you to treat anybody anyway, you got to do something, right? And so this involves a performance. And now I want to give you some practical examples of hospitality to strangers. We give you some for hospitality to the saints, hospitality to strangers. It might mean handing them a songbook. They come in, they're there, especially, and most visitors don't sit in the front row. You need help with that. But a lot of times, for whatever reason, there needs to be, but there's not songbooks sometimes on the front row and people looking around and stuff, even if it's a visiting preacher. But whatever it is, or maybe they didn't hear what page or whatever, it might be you just hand them a songbook. Hospitality, right? To our visitors, what the Bible calls strangers. It might mean just simply acknowledging them. We've already kind of mentioned that about, you know, shaking their hand. Don't just talk and fellowship with your friend. Listen to me right here, because I see this. I sit right here and I can see. Don't just talk to your friends or the people in your Sunday school class or the people in your ministry that you're involved in. Make it a point. You got all the time in the world to do that. You have your fellowship days and all that. But when we come in the auditorium on Sunday morning and Sunday night and even Wednesday night, don't just sit over there and talk for 30 minutes to your friend. Make it a point to look and see, are there any visitors here? And you make a beeline to them and talk to them. Acknowledge them. Be intentional about finding them. Shake their hand, introduce yourself. Let them know how happy you are that they are here. Greeting really ought to start at the door. Ushers, we know that. And give a visitor packet and, you know, help with seating and class directions. And don't leave them guessing. That's why it's so important. Ushers, be back there where you need to be, where you're supposed to be. They come in, take them. If somebody, they've never been here, especially got two or three kids, hey, I don't know if you're going to want to go to Sunday school, but let me walk you to the class where it'll be if Johnny wants to go to Sunday school. And you take them and you show them where the class is, right? Hospitality. Don't leave. They don't know this building. They don't know anything about this ministry. So we need to make sure that they know. And then another one is yield. Yield your seat to somebody else. And no name tags on these seats, and there never will be. These churches, you know, and they got the pews, and in memorial or in whatever, got the name tags on every pew, and they got their pew. If you have to, listen, if your name's got to go on a pew for you to give to the building fund, don't give. Right? Scoot down. Scoot over. You see, the more this building fills up, and it's going to fill up, the more somebody comes in. Man, I don't care if you always sit there. Move. Scoot down. Right? Scoot over. Scoot. I want the outside seat. Well, you're not getting it today. Scoot over. You know, or move somewhere where there is an outside seat. But when visitors come in, especially they got four or five people, well, there's only three seats here, but there's two over there, we can figure this out, you know, and let's give them a seat. And so we can help in that way. You know, it might even mean you got to scoot up a row or scoot back a row. Say, oh, your family can sit right here, y'all. Plenty of room. And yield to that. It's hospitality. Just like people come over my house all the time, and most of you probably have one. You have a... You have the big chair, you know, the recliner chair or whatever. We got one. And it's amazing because, honestly, the one we got now, I hate it because it hurts my back. It's comfortable, but it just, I guess my back's messed up. But I don't sit anywhere. People come around, and they'll walk all around that thing, man. And they'll sit. I said, look, sit down. No, that's your chair. No, it ain't my chair. Sit down in it. They don't know that I really don't want to sit in it. But they think that's my chair, you know. No, you do that at your home. Do it in the house of God. Give them your seat. And then I want to mention to you something about this because we need to cover this. Altar helpers. Now, when people come, we're still talking about hospitality of those strangers, the visitors. When people come and they come down the altar, especially visitors, you know, a lot of times they don't know what to do at all. Now, there's sometimes, especially when people, they've been coming to this church for 3 years, and I know they come to pray. Now, there's still nothing wrong if you come put your arm around them. But sometimes people just want to come pray. And so sometimes it might be good to just leave them alone and let them pray. But not when it comes to visitors. Because they're coming for help. They don't know what to do. All right? And so there are several things, and you need to write these down if you have any intentions of ever being an altar helper and working. I'm going to give you some insight of what I want to do this Sunday, okay, in a minute. It's not hard. That's a cough drop, but that's a breath mint. Okay. Put some breath mints in your pocket or gum or something. All right. I mean, don't come and knock them out, man, before you ever get to talk to them about the Lord. You know, I mean, really, you can turn people off, man. I'm telling you, don't do that. Start there. Okay. You're going to come help people. You're burning my eyes, man. So that's number one, all right? Typically, a lady will work with a lady, and a man will work with a man. There may be that one, whether it be a lady or a man, will work with a whole family. Maybe a family comes, okay? And times that'll happen. And then you improvise. You learn how to improvise. It's no altar call is ever the same, okay? And God just orchestrates it. We don't let him orchestrate. We're not going to organize him out of it. But the way to handle those who come to the altar, first of all, this Sunday's a little different than most Sundays will be. So this isn't always, but this is this Sunday. Is I won't, if somebody comes to the altar, if it's somebody you invited, come to the altar with them. Right? Walk down the altar with them. And now if you're uncomfortable in praying with them or helping them in any way, just motion to me. And we'll get an altar worker. We'll get somebody to help them. You can come down and you still be there with them and somebody else can come over and help. If you don't feel capable to lead them to the Lord or capable to pray with them about whatever they want to pray about or whatever the case is, you just motion to me. We need somebody and we'll get somebody over there to help them. But you come down with them. Make sure, here's the key thing. Make sure that you address the particular need. It's amazing to come to the altar. And you know, would you come well this? And then they go back and they're confused. They never got the need met, whatever it was. Make sure that you address that particular need. Don't leave it up to them to know what to do or how to do it. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch? The Ethiopian eunuch there, he's out there in the middle of nowhere. Philip's over in a red hot revival. The Lord calls Philip to go out there I believe this with everything that's within me. When there is a seeking, when somebody's seeking the Lord, God will send them a servant. He'll send them somebody that can help them. So Philip's there. Philip comes to the Ethiopian eunuch. And you remember the question that he asked? Yeah. I'll read it to you, Acts 8:30-31. And Philip ran thither to him, talking about the Ethiopian eunuch, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest what thou readest?" And he said, and here was his question, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" He needed guidance. And then, he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. "Don't leave them to themselves. Make sure you address the need. How can I, except some man should guide me?" So they need guidance. And that's what we're here for. If they come for salvation, these are the verses that I absolutely want you to cover once you write them down. It ain't about a prayer. It ain't about words. It ain't about, but it is about the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I want you to cover Romans 3:23. Now I want to say this as I'm getting started with this. I'm just honestly, we're going to obey the Lord Sunday, okay? And every Sunday we obey the Lord. It might be that at first we do more of a blanket thing where we haven't given an opportunity to pray where they are. But even if we do that, we're going to have them, if they're willing to come forward and acknowledge and they've professed Christ, okay? And so they may come having already prayed. They may not. It just, we'll see how the Lord leads. Now I'm going to let the Lord lead. But Romans 3:23, if they haven't been saved, they're coming for salvation. Romans 6:23. We know Romans 3:23 tells us all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. Right? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9-10. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, tells them how to do it, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The heart man believeth unto righteousness, for the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And those are the verses I want you to cover before you pray with them. Make sure they understand what's that mean. And then, once they pray, if they pray and they ask the Lord to save them, I want you to take them to Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, based on that verse right there, if you died right now, where would you go? I'd go to heaven. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's simple. It's not hard. And then take them to 1 John 5:12-13. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. They know they're saved. They can be sure they're saved. There's many others, but if you'll hit those verses right there, those are the few, three or four verses before, and the two verses after, two or three verses after, and that'll help them. And we're going to get them, listen, we're going to get them with a discipleship mentor, okay? And so we're going to leave them there, but that'll at least help them for that day, okay? Now, once again, whatever they come for, salvation, baptism, church membership, renew their commitment, whatever it is, make sure that you address the need. Whatever it is, make sure we address the need. Pray with them. Make sure that that need is met. Fill out a card and give it to me. I've put so far, we may add some somewhere else, but there's four of these. There's two here and two on that side, four of these booklet form, whatever. And, you know, there's a copy for us, and there's a copy. We need to give a copy for them if we want to do it that way, whatever. But there's, either way, there's two copies here in each one. But just fill it out. And hand it to me while I'm up here, and we want to acknowledge what they've done. They made a profession of faith. They want to renew their commitment to Christ. They know they're away from the Lord. They want baptism. They want church membership, whatever it is, so we can rejoice and know what's going on. So you come down with them. You pray with them, or maybe with them and with another altar worker if you don't want to do it by yourself. And then now they've made a decision, whatever the decision is. Maybe it's just they needed to pray, you know, because they have a mother in the hospital. That's fine. We don't need a decision card for that, right? But if they've made any decision, we want to fill out a decision card and give it to me, all right? And we'll have that as a record. They'll have it as a record, and we'll be able to acknowledge that. I want to say this. Don't sit in the very back if you have a visitor. It's a very big mistake. It's always a mistake to sit in the very back, but Steve, except whenever I tell you to, like I did. Don't sit in the back. Listen, come down. By the way, I want to say this. When you have your visitor, you meet them outside or meet them at the door, wherever, in the foyer, and you bring them in, all right? Come down until you see where there's room. Maybe you keep coming. Now, I'm going to say this. Tonight, when you leave, take your junk with you. You don't live here. This ain't your house. take your junk with you, okay? Because I'm going to tell Reese, are you up there? Where's Reese? I'm going to tell Reese, the whatever's in here, it's going to lost and found. And lost and found usually just means lost around here. I'm just going to tell you that. So take it with you, because I want room for people to sit. I want them to come in. Well, I'd sit there, but there's 18 Bibles. Listen, if you're so lazy that you can't carry your Bible home and back to church, they wonder why all these people come to church, no Bible anyway. God help us. Take it home, I'm sure. Clean it up, because we want clean chairs and everything when people come in. I want you to go to one more place. We're done. 3 John chapter 1. There's many things I could say. Well, I'm never finished, but I'm gonna quit. 3 John chapter 1, verse 3, starting in verse 3. Verse 3 of 3 John chapter 1. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in them. He's commending, Gaius here is commending the brethren, the little children here. Watch it, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully. Watch what he does. He does faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the strangers. He's faithful to be hospitable. He's faithful to be kind. He's faithful to be loving, not just to the brethren, but to the strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake, watch this, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. And then watch this, verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers. What's that word? That we might be fellow helpers of the truth. You know what you're doing when you practice hospitality in the house of God? You're becoming a fellow helper to whatever's preached. Yeah. That's what he said. That you could be a fellow helper. Because I want you to understand, it doesn't matter how good the message was preached. It doesn't matter how clear the gospel was presented. If our actions and our attitude does not line up with the message, if our actions and our attitude cause them to not feel like they have liberty, if our actions and our attitude make them cause them to feel like they're not welcome, they shouldn't be here, if they don't feel like they could come down, it's going to fall on deaf ears. Doesn't matter what I say. But we can be fellow helpers of the truth. When they see the love of Christ in us and through us for one another as well as for them, then they receive our efforts to present the gospel to them as genuine and as truth. Never forget, as the old song goes, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And that's never been more true than it is in the house of God. And people see. Let's be very intentional this Sunday and every Sunday when it comes to our hospitality in the house of God. Let's be that loving church that everybody wants to be a part of. Do you love your church? Amen. And you have a pastor that loves you. And I don't want to do anything. I want to do anything that would cause a spirit of unwelcomeness, or that would cause someone, that would hinder them from hearing and heeding to the gospel message. Amen. Let's be fellow helpers. Let's intentionally go to those that we see, not just this week, but every week. Go to those we see. Listen, I know there's a lot more people Sunday that'll be here, members that aren't here now, but if just the people in here tonight do this, they'll feel very welcome. Amen. Any very quick prayer requests? Any quick prayer requests? Something